This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. A few days ago, I was looking around online for interesting articles, and this headline jumped out at me. Why do you drink 8 cups of water a day? Because of a bunch of revolutionary 19th century quacks. The article turns out to be an excerpt from a book called Marketplace of the Marvelous, The Strange Origins of Modern Medicine. And after reading it, I said, I have got to talk to the woman who wrote this book. And so here she is, Erica Janik. Welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you so much for having me.
Your book looks at medicine in the 19th century, and the question of the 8 cups of water a day goes back to what were called at the time hydropaths, right?
That's right. They were a group of people, also known as water cure docs, who really believed that cold, pure water could heal just about anything. And so one of the ways that they prescribed their therapy was that they advised you to drink 8 to 10 glasses of water a day. They also told you to bathe regularly. And if you were actually suffering from a disease, then you would go through a whole regimen of bathing and soaking and exercises on a daily basis that would supposedly wash that disease out of your body.
Now, the 8 cups of water a day thing, unless you included soda and coffee and tea in that, most people aren't drinking 8 cups of water a day, right? So, I mean, did we say goodbye to that a long time ago?
We're still really advised to that the idea that drinking water regularly is good for our health. Even in the 19th century, this was a pretty revolutionary idea. People were not drinking water regularly. And, you know, they had a pretty good reason to do so. The water at the time was often polluted, just not very safe to drink. So people were pretty nervous about drinking water. And yes, even today, you know, most of us are probably not drinking as much water as we should be.
I want to go back to something you said earlier where they were advised to bathe regularly. People in the 1800s weren't, well, maybe they didn't have access to plumbing, I guess.
That's definitely true. You know, a lot of people were not bathing regularly. There wasn't the same emphasis on hygiene that we have today. I mean, people were clean to a degree, but bathing on a daily basis was very, very foreign. People were often bathing on a weekly, even a monthly basis. They didn't have indoor plumbing. So the way that people would bathe is, you know, they'd have to go fetch their water from a well or from a lake or a river, and then they would have to boil it on their stove to actually get it warm. So, you know, it was kind of an ordeal to bathe regularly. So these hydropaths, you know, saying that being clean and bathing on a daily basis would actually make you healthier was a pretty radical idea. And people were often writing them letters saying, is this even safe? Like, this is so foreign to me. I can't even imagine that bathing regularly would be a good idea. But, you know, obviously over time, as plumbing becomes more common and as we start to learn more about disease, bathing regularly and keeping clean actually is a pretty good idea.
Are you telling me that people were afraid to get in the tub?
People were a little bit afraid to get in the tub. They just weren't sure. This was an uncommon thing that people would, you know, that they wanted to bathe regularly and be clean. And they just were nervous about what would happen because it was a really uncommon idea. You know, I think it sounds crazy now when we think about it, but at the time, you know, this wasn't normal.
What other kind of treatments could you get when you went to the hydropath other than a glass of water and a tub to sit in?
You were told to exercise. They would wrap you in wet bandages or put you in some kind of wet dress. That was often another form of treatment. And they would send you on these very long walks through the woods because they thought fresh air, exercise was really good for you. These water cures were often located in really beautiful places. And so, you know, it was nice to actually go on a walk in the woods and look at the streams and the mountains, you know, something that draws us to resorts today is their beautiful location. Now, this was also a pretty radical idea because they were also sending women out to exercise. Women were not generally advised to exercise. They were seen usually as too delicate to actually, you know, be moving around. And there were some fears that if women were too vigorous in their physical activity, that it might actually take away some of their femininity. And some people thought it would even turn them into men.
Wow. I'll get to the women part of this in just a second, but I'm trying to think, you know, we're talking about the 1800s here, a time when people didn't really have that sedentary a lifestyle. It's not like today when you can sit home and watch TV and movies and, you know, get your laptop or your iPad out or whatever it is. And just, you know, we turned into sloths who hang around on our butts all day long. In the 19th century, you were outside a lot of the time because there was nothing to do inside. But still,
that's
people had to be told, you know what, walk a little bit.
But a lot of the people that were going to these water cures were middle class and upper class Americans. So they weren't necessarily the people that were out, you know, plowing the fields all day long, because visiting a water cure was actually pretty expensive. And so kind of working class Americans generally couldn't afford to go. So some of the people that were going there were people that weren't getting the same vigorous exercise that other people were. But it is true that they were moving around a lot more than we tend to today. But the idea of doing exercise for exercise's sake and the idea of doing it to be healthy, that was a pretty new idea.
In fact, you write in the book about something called medical gymnastics.
That's right. Yeah, medical gymnastics was something that was started by a Swede, and he was a pretty big fan of fencing, but he kept getting very, very sore. And so he developed this system of medical gymnastics that was kind of this scientific exercise program that was both a system of moving as well as kind of massage and physical therapy. And it was the first kind of scientific exercise program, and it became very, very popular in Europe, and then it came to the United States with Swedish immigrants, and people were practicing it, and they published books, and this was really one of the first kind of systematic exercise programs in the world.
Now, tell me about the impact of all of these things that were going on in the 19th century on women's health, and also about women moving into the medical field.
Yeah, so alternative medicine, which in the 19th century was known as irregular medicine, was really welcoming to women. And this was a big deal at the time, because women often were not getting the medical attention that they needed. All doctors basically were men. And so kind of social propriety meant that women weren't getting the medical attention that they needed. Even if they did go see a doctor, their male doctor often wouldn't examine them because he was worried about offending their sensibilities. And people just weren't studying women's health. So a lot of women were really suffering in silence. And so all of these irregular therapies that start to develop in the 19th century, a lot of them pay a lot of attention to women's health, and they really see it as a market for them. And in order to help women with their health, they need women doctors. And so women are allowed to become professional doctors in alternative medicine. And you find that they become leaders in the field, and they're not welcome at all in mainstream medicine. So most of the first generation of female doctors come out of these alternative therapies in the 19th century.
When you keep talking about alternative therapies and alternative medicine, I always say that if alternative medicine worked, we would just call it medicine. How many of these things that you uncovered from the 19th century worked and are still around today?
All kinds of them, actually. You'll find them both. Either the therapy is still around to this day, or some aspect of it is still around. You know, if we think about hydropathy, the water cure, the fact that we do drink water all of the time, that, you know, there are pools and spas, you know, these are all kind of hydropathic ideas from the 19th century. So we may not have the very intense regimen of bathing and soaking that hydropathy called for, but a lot of their ideas of hygiene are things that are still practiced, still advised today. Preventative health was a big interest of these alternative practitioners, and that was not very common in mainstream medicine at the time. So things like eating fruits and vegetables, exercise, these are all things that come out of irregular doctors and became absorbed into kind of modern ideas of health and medicine. And you'll also find that some of them, like phrenology, this was the idea that the shape of your head could tell you something about your character. Now, obviously, that isn't quite right. But the underlying theory that your brain was divided into different parts that govern certain functions, that's exactly right. So even though they took it to a wrong end, they did start with an idea that was studied more and realized that, yes, it did have some truth in it.
Very interesting. What I find fascinating is that a lot of alternative medicine today is really about hucksterism and scams and claims. I'm thinking about homeopathic remedies, which don't cure anything more than thirst because they go back to water. That's really all that they turn out to be. There's the modern day version, I guess, of hydropathy in many cases. But the looking back at what we were doing in this country in the 19th century is a terrific basis of what we have today in both real medicine and some of the hucksterism that goes with it. The book is called Marketplace of the Marvelous: The Strange Origins of Modern Medicine. Erica Janik, thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thank you.
I'm Paul Harris. This show is called America Weekend. We're on the air every Saturday and Sunday from the Envision Networks.
America Weekend.